welcome to Rewatchable. This is episode 99, our first recap episode for Freaks and Geeks. We're doing episode 1, The Pilots, and episode 2, Beers and Whiz. To get in contact with us, we've got our email, rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, at Twitter, at re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hyperbool.com, and we also have a Tumblr, it's rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. So I'm Jack. I wasn't on last week's episode. There's a little sound clip off me, though. I am one of the super fans, and I'll be hosting the episodes along with Pamela, who's one of our other super fans. And I'm joined today with Danielle and Ariana, who are our newbies, and Brittany, who is our super fan. So say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
So the episode one pilot, our synopsis is... I did not read this beforehand. I probably should have, and I'm nervous because I know how Ariana's synopsis are. And
they're always best if you don't read them beforehand, so you are...
Yeah. All right. In this episode, Linda Cardinelli is sad because her grandma did not go gentle into that good night. She raged against the dying of the light, so Linda decides to make the most out of life by becoming a pothead. You, like Linda's weird... little decathlon friend, whose name I can't remember, so we'll just call her White Ariana, might argue that this life choice seems counterintuitive since potheads traditionally are known for being lethargic and therefore do not make the most out of life. However, Linda Cardellini would argue that you are wrong because this is the best chance she has at sleeping with James Franco. Obviously, she doesn't have Nicki Minaj to look up to yet. And John Francis Daly is getting beat up at school by this gross guy who really needs to be introduced to dry shampoo. So, yeah. Oh, my God.
I definitely spelled her name wrong one of those times. I'm not sure which one.
It's okay. I have a feeling we're never going to refer to any of these characters by their show names. It's just going to be the real actors and actresses' names.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was going to say, if like the super fans could kind of catch me whenever I say like James Franco and tell me the actual name. But also, I don't even know the actress's name for the main person, so I just call her the brunette.
Oh, her name is Linda Cardinelli, and she's like really famous.
Cardinelli and not Cardellini.
Or maybe it's Linda Cardellini. Yeah. I don't know, actually.
So I'm just going to call her.
Hold on. I'm going to check.
It's Cardellini.
Okay.
Cardellini, thank you.
But also Lindsay Weir, the star of the show.
I'm not sure I really care about their, like, real fake names. I think that, like, their real names are just fine for me.
Whatever you want to do, it's fine.
So going into the discussion, Bad Reputation is the theme song, and it is amazing. This show has the best music. It's one of the best theme songs, I think, for any show.
Everybody was talking about it, the super fans were talking about it in our intro episode, and I was like, oh, it's going to be, like, maybe some obscure thing that I'm going to grow to like. But then when Bad Reputation started playing, I was like, why did nobody tell me? Because I love this song.
Whenever I hear the song, I always think of this, and I always think of Shrek 1.
Oh,
I always think 10 Things I Hate About You.
I think 10 Things, and now UFC fighter Ronda Rousey uses it. So whenever she fights, it's like, I don't give a damn about my bad reputation. It's like, yes. Sorry.
That was really good.
Thanks. I just get really excited about this song. I'm going to calm down now.
So, for the newbies, what do you guys think of Lindsay? So that's Linda Cardinelli. I can't even say this.
The brunette.
I understand that she's probably a little bit hard to like or understand. Ariana, how do you feel about Lindsay in the first pilot, episode?
I really like her because I thought it was really smart how they gave her like that save the cat moment at the beginning where she, you know, like sticks up for her brother. That's really great. So I really like her. I just don't really understand why she wants to be a pothead. Like, I guess she's bad because her grandma dies. I don't know. I mean, I get it. James Franco's really hot. At least in 1991 he was. Now he's kind of gross. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely see her being conflicted early on. And, yeah, I don't know. Brittany, rewatching it, how do you feel about Lindsay? Because I don't know, I guess she sort of does change towards the very end of the series, and I definitely saw a change in rewatching the first episode. But how do you feel about her, like, going back to it?
You know, I like her better in the beginning of the series, so it was nice to go back and rewatch the first episodes, because the latest episodes that I have rewatched, because I wrote a piece for Hypeable a while back, like last year, about Freaks and Geeks, and I really only paid attention to the later episodes. I really, really like her in the beginning. And I think this time around I'm going to like her character more. She was never my favorite character. But I don't know. I really liked her this time.
Really? I feel like she's the only... Like, at least in these episodes, she's like the only person I actually really like. Like, in the next... Like, her brother... Because I thought that was funny, how he switched out the beer. But, like, in this episode, she kind of seems like the only sympathetic person. And everyone else just seems, like, so stupid. I just feel like she's so much better than everyone else at the high school.
Yeah, well, we're really only getting her story in the first episode, which is how it probably should be, her and her brother. Because they're going to be the two focal points of the two groups.
Well, I just feel like she's more relatable, the most relatable character on the show, at least, to the sort of more general audience.
Yeah. I'm hoping that that's what she becomes for me, but you said, like, for the general audience. To me, she, as a person, kind of feels really, really general, and I don't have a grasp on her character just yet, because I don't fully understand, I guess, her motivations, or she just doesn't seem to have that strong of a personality to me right now.
Yeah, so I think that's the point of her.
Yeah.
Is that she's not supposed to give away anything about herself because she doesn't know.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm not against her. I just don't know if I'm on board yet.
No, but her. I like that you're feeling that way, because that's what I took away going back, is like, oh, she doesn't know, like, if she wants to be classified as a person who hangs out in the smoking lounge, or someone who's on the math team, or best friends with her guidance counselor, who I love.
Well, thinking back to when I first watched it, I think I felt the same way. How there's that saying where people generally like the supporting characters more than the main characters, and I know a lot of people think about that way with Orange Is the New Black. How not many people like Piper, but they like all the other characters in the show, and I think I sort of felt like that watching this for the first time. I don't feel like that now, because I really like what happens with Lindsay later on in the series, but yeah. Now we've got a little note in here as well, I'm guessing this is Ariana that wrote this, hashtag Team Weird Decathlon Girl, and I'm guessing you're referring to Millie, and I hope so, because she's my favorite character in this whole show.
She's the only person who makes sense on this whole show, so yes, obviously.
Yeah. And somebody brought up before how Lindsay is pretty good with Sam, who is her brother, and I think they have a really good relationship as well. It's not, I feel like, despite everything that's going on within their own friend groups, they always come back to each other in a really nice sort of sibling way. Speaking of Sam as well, we start his plot line with Cindy, who is the upper self cheerleader, I think. I don't like Cindy at all. How do you guys feel about Cindy and Sam? Okay. I'll go to you, Danielle. Oh.
Wait, yeah. I was just going to clarify. I had no idea who that was when I read this in the doc. So Cindy is the girl that says, like, two words to Sam, and then he's like, oh, my God, I love you.
Awesome love.
That's that girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's this weird age difference. Like, I'm guessing Cindy, she looks like she would be, like, Lindsay's age, really.
Really?
Yeah, but she is in Sam's grade because he left his jacket in science.
I think she's just tall.
Yeah.
Well, she has really big boobs.
Well, she's very developed, okay? I mean, women develop faster than men, traditionally, so it makes sense.
I don't
Why she's interested in this
is...
little boy, I don't know. It's like a Katara Inc. thing, whatever.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, no, I don't like Cindy. I feel like she's so forward, you know? I don't know. We'll get to this more
she's
as the show goes
She's so forward.
On.
She doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I felt like she didn't do anything.
Maybe I'm just thinking of later on. Sorry.
She just gets his jacket, and he's like, oh, my God, she loves me. And I just thought back to, like, high school. That happens so much. Like, the weird guy It's gonna sound mean, but you had to like. No, I was just trying to be nice. I would be a nice person, and then people would be like, "Well, do you like me?" And I was like, "No, I'm just being a nice person." So obviously, I have to stop. But that happens to a lot of girls. A lot of my friends, that happens to them because they're nice people. And that weird kid that has no friends thinks that you're in love with him.
He's got friends, which is weird as well.
I know, but he needs to mature a little bit. That's like how Amy is. So he's like, obviously, guitar loves me. She's nice. We're on a new show now. We're on a new show.
We have to leave it behind because I will start talking about it at length.
And Danielle will just sit here and wait for it to pass.
That's what I did in the early stages of Avatar when people would still bring up Veronica Mars. I would be like, oh, well, I don't know what's going on.
Well, we can bring that up. I'd be okay with that.
And then I
just feel so sorry for you guys. You can't watch Korra. I feel so sorry for you.
Once this is done, we can slowly creep into it.
So we've got a lot of other people in this episode. I don't really understand any of these references, so I'm just going to read them straight down. We've got Hannah's mum, Josh from Heavyweights, Eli is the kid from... Oh, Flash Forward. Yep, I know that show. Martin Starr.
Oh my god, you do? That is
wonderful. Yeah, I watched a lot of it, but...
You were like the first person that I have ever heard that knows what I'm talking about when I say Flash Forward.
I was so into it, and then it got cancelled, and then it kind of got crappy towards the end of it, though, to be honest.
I don't even remember. I just remember, the opening credits where he's running naked down the hallway, and, he had this really good relationship with this girl. For everybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, I should probably say, Flash Forward was a TV show on the Disney Channel, I think.
No, Flash Forward... Wait, I think we're thinking of different shows, then.
Was it Nickelodeon? No.
It wasn't a kid's show.
No, because I just looked it up to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I haven't heard of this. But there was a real show, in 2009.
No,
that was about.
Yeah, that's what I'm FBI thinking of.
Oh, yeah. Dang it! I was so excited. No,
but is Flash Forward hold on, is it a Disney movie or was it a show?
It was a show, and it was a slightly more mature show than you normally see for, live-action shows on Disney Channel. But it was a show, and it was about this guy and this girl, and they were neighbors. And I think they were either in middle school or they were, young and in high school. And it was just, they were best friends, and I think they may have liked each other at some point. But it was just, the kind of things they go through at school, and... They were just really charming, and I can try to find the trailer and send it to you guys later, or have, I don't know, tweet it to you, but in the teaser or whatever for the show, and the main song for it, the guy's running down the hallway naked, and it's just really fun, and that was the guy. It was the guy who was playing Eli, so I thought that was fun, along with Josh from Heavyweight, who I was also really excited about.
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, Heavyweights is one of the best movies ever created, and you have to watch it. It's another
Wait, Disney okay. Movie. I feel like I definitely saw this show. Was it the one where the girl and the guy were best friends, and they lived next door to each other, and they had the phone?
I think so, yeah.
That's what the IMDb description says.
I think so.
Okay, yeah, because I just saw their pictures. Hold on, I'll send you the pictures. Maybe Jack will definitely not remember this. This was when he was, two. Oh. So I'll send it to Brittany. Maybe she'll remember.
Also, Hannah's mom is a reference to Girls because the mom on the show is Hannah's mom on the show Girls now.
I had my head down. I think I was looking at something else when she first started talking, and I was like, oh, my God, is that Hannah's mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate Girls, but we can talk about that later.
Wait, no, we should talk about it soon because I cover it for Hypeable and it's awful. this season is really testing my
life. Oh, no, I watched the pilot and then I was like, I can't do any more of this.
Oh, all right. Well, anyway, Flash Forward, what? Martin Starr.
Yeah, well, so Martin Starr is in Veronica Mars, apparently. I haven't seen it.
He's in the movie. He's one of the new characters in the movie, and I won't give away anything about what his character does, but it's quite a deviation from this nerdy character that he plays in Freaks and Geeks. I like a lot.
So, Ariana and Danielle, did you guys like the show right off the bat? Like, I remember when I first watched it, I didn't fall in love right away, but I definitely thought it was good, so I obviously kept watching. But how do you feel about just after you've watched the pilot? Were you excited to keep watching it, or how do you feel? Danielle, I'll go to you first.
On a scale from pushing daisies to Veronica Mars, I would say I'd be somewhere in the middle. I didn't outwardly, like, cringe at it the first time I saw it, like I did with Pushing Daisies. I actually fell asleep a few times while trying to watch those for the first time. And this is in reference to other rewatchables, sorry. Yeah. But I did like it enough that by the end of the second episode, I was bummed that I couldn't just press play and watch the third one.
Yeah.
So I wasn't over the moon excited about it, but I was intrigued.
See, that's the same with me. I think first watching it, it took me up until maybe episode 3 or 4, I think, where I really started to get into it. I feel like just as the show, it does have a bit of a slow beginning. Ariana, how about you? How do you feel?
Like Danielle, by the time the second episode ended, I was really disappointed that I couldn't just go on to the third one because I wanted to see, like, how things were going to happen. But, like, definitely the first episode, I was not digging it, like, at all, really. Until the end, when the guidance counselor is like, you have a great life, like, get over yourself. That's when I was like, okay, I can get on with this. And then she danced with that guy, and that was nice. So then I was like, okay, maybe I will like this. And I really liked the second episode. So I think my problem with it was just, like, similar to Girls, like, my biggest pet peeve in the world I cannot handle, entitled white children, lazy entitled white children are the worst. So that was basically my thing. I could not get behind any of the characters, but I did really enjoy the second episode.
Yeah, yeah. Brittany, at what point did you fall in love with this show? Was it sort of immediate for you, or was it sort of similar to me? It took maybe 4 or 5 episodes in to really fall in love.
Yeah, it took a little while. I remember first watching it when it was, like, in rerun form on, like, I think we talked about this in the intro episode. It used to be on Fox Family before it switched over to ABC Family. And I would catch an episode here and there, and I would turn it off. I didn't like it at all. But then I watched the whole thing in college with friends, and it was good. Like, it took me a while. Like, I was passively watching the first couple episodes, but then when the group of us would get together and, like, put on, like, by the time we got to, like, 5 or 6, I was like, all right, yeah, let's watch another one.
Yeah. So what's the main thing you love about the show? For me, personally, a big part of it is the music, because the music from start to finish is so good. But what about you? What's the one thing that you love most about the show, without giving away any spoilers?
I like the stories that they give to each character. Like, each character has a bigger issue that they're dealing with, and it comes out in each, like, in different episodes. And I really like that there's emphasis put on every single character, even the ones that you don't think is going to have, like, anything to do with. They're just there as, like, a secondary player. They're not. Yeah. Like, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. So, what am I going to say next? Sorry, guys. I just lost my point on the page.
Happens. There are so many points on the page.
Yeah, because there's a lot of just random notes here. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I had 2 more comments that I threw in here that I had about the show. It's neither good nor bad. But
okay.
The first one was that I don't know if any of you watch The Goldbergs or not, but Linda, the brunette main character, reminds me a lot of the sister on The Goldbergs, just because they both have a similar storyline where they're very, very intelligent people who are on, like, they were mathletes, they were doing decathlons, all of those kinds of things, but they find themselves wanting to be cooler or something, and so they completely change themselves, and that kind of I don't know, I could kind of relate that. It's interesting to see it in, like, a show that's based in the 80s and then a show that's based, well, actually, the Goldbergs is also based in the 80s. So the 80s was a lot about decathlon people becoming cool, apparently. But, yeah, that was one connection that I kind of made.
Yeah. And was it also you that asked why Seth Rogen speaks so slowly?
Yes, because yeah, that doesn't it's change. Even slower. Like, it's even slower than he is now. And he speaks slowly now, but in the show, it's like, oh, my God, will you please finish a sentence?
Yeah.
He is great. Like, he's such a good character because I love him just because he's so
at all.
Oh my gosh, but he's hardly involved, and that's what's so great about him. Like, anytime you need him, he's just in that corner, like, ready to say something stupid.
Yeah.
Like, when he pulled the beer stein out of his pocket, oh, I love it. I think he's great. Yes.
Speaking of somebody who's not, like, extremely in the main fold, I suppose she is. What do you guys think, and I'm just going to say the actress's name, Busy Phillips, Kim, in the show. I love Kim, personally. I think she's great. But Ariana and Danielle, first impressions of Kim, what do you think?
Is that the blonde?
Yes.
Okay.
First impressions, I was frustrated that, I mean, there's literally only one female main character in the show, and then the other girl that they bring on as supporting has to hate her, of course, right away. But this is 1999, before, like, you know, Beyonce came out with her feminism stuff, and Nicki Minaj was like, stay in school, kids. So I guess I understand that people were not smart yet. But so that really frustrated me. But I guess now they're going to be friends, maybe, sort of, except they'll probably fight over the boy, as always. But she seems good enough. She's fine.
First predictions. Do you think there is going to be a big love triangle between anyone
there's
in the show?
Like, a love quadrangle. Like, there's so many people. Everybody's in love with Linda. Linda's in love with James Franco, but...
So, what are your predictions for the end of the series in that sense?
Well, Jack, if you had read through my plot points, you'd see that that's one of the things I ask in the second episode.
Ooh, okay. Wow, that was feisty. Oh.
Well, Ariana, it's better if we don't have people read ahead because it loses some of your charm.
Yeah.
I see.
No, I did see that there was a confusion, but I just left it. So why is it weird that dodgeball is still illegal to play in schools? Is that a thing that, like, it should be illegal? Who wrote this? I don't know.
Oh, I did. Just because people still do play dodgeball in schools, and that's just so funny to me because it's like, it's literally a game where you hit other kids. Like, it's kind of terrible. I remember dodgeball used to hurt a lot.
Really? I kind of liked dodgeball.
I mean, it's fun. It's really fun, but it also hurts a lot.
Yeah.
And so it just seems strange that that's something that they like. Like, what kind of game is that? Let's all throw stuff at people.
It's teaching agility and evasion.
Yeah, we used to play where, like, you know, like those mats that you would have in gym, like the ones that, like, fold in, like, thirds. We used to stand them up on their sides and, like, make obstacle courses so it was, like, less painful. Because you didn't have to use, like, human shields. Like, you had a mat as a shield.
I don't think I ever played that often, but I liked it when I played. But I feel like TV always uses dodgeball as this sort of, like, weed out the losers kind of trope, where when the gym teacher started talking, he's like, we're going to do something fun today. And I was like, oh, here comes the dodgeball. Because you always have that, like, gym teacher character who, for some reason, just wants to hurt his students. I don't know why that's a thing, but I always feel like dodgeball is more malicious on TV than it is in real life. But I've never really played it all that much, so I guess I don't know. I don't know.
During summer school, yeah. I took PE during summer school, and we played it literally every day. And it was, like, fun, but then there's, like, those few kids that are really strong, and when they throw it, it hurts so much. So
did you use, like, like, kickball type of balls or, like, foam balls?
No, like, kickballs.
Kickballs, okay. Because I think we used foam balls, so we weren't even allowed to.
Whatever, you guys are weenies. That's not real dodgeball.
I know, we're Midwest weenies. We already know.
So going into the favorite scenes, I'll start off. Mine is at the very end of the episode at the dance when everyone is dancing to Come Sail Away by Styx. And because that song is amazing, it's incredible, and I can't wait for just rewatching all of the music that pops up because there is a lot of good music. And that was just a really cute scene as well with everyone dancing together. It sort of sets up the series well, I think, and gets you excited.
Yeah, especially Daniel. When Sam couldn't, he was walking too much and he missed the slow part of the song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Cindy. Oh, man, I don't like Cindy. She pissed me off so much.
Why don't you like Cindy? She gives you no reason to not like her. Is it because of future stuff? Because in this episode, she does nothing.
Well, even in this, I mean, I suppose it's sort of just looking like forward on, I guess, how she is later. But even so, in this episode, she's just annoying. Like, you can just say she's stringing along this little boy, and
she's
crazy.
Not stringing him along. No, she is not. She is being a nice person,
okay, Jack?
She knows
that he's in love with her.
Yes, and so she's being nice. He asked her to dance. She can dance if she wants to, even if she doesn't want to, which she probably doesn't, because he's kind of creepy and young.
Sorry, please keep going. I had to.
No, she's just being a nice person. That is not stringing him along, okay? That's that kind of mentality that, like, it contributes to, like, date rape mentality, okay? She's not stringing him along. She's just being a nice person. She's dancing with him. That's it.
Okay. All right. I don't have to agree, but... Danielle, how about your favorite scene?
Sure. But first of all, do the showrunners have, like, a love of Styx? Because they played Renegade in this episode, too. And I just thought it was funny that they played two Styx songs within, like, 10 minutes of each other. At least I think it was this episode.
Mm.
I don't know. Just a question. But my favorite scene was Seth Rogen and, oh, I put her right name here, Lindsay, cutting class and walking down a dirt road. It sounds so boring, but I liked it. Was it Seth Rogen? No, it wasn't Seth Rogen at all.
No, it was Jason Segel.
Oh,
and I'm like,
also known as Nick Antopoulos.
Thank you. His name I will remember, I think, because I'm actually in love with him, but apparently not as much as I thought I was, because I said he was Seth Rogen. Oh, yeah, that's me.
Ariana?
Mine was the Lizzie Kaplan cameo. I got so excited when I saw she was in this, but I feel like it was really wasted. Like, she should just be, like, the main person. She should play all the parts, because Lizzie Kaplan is amazing.
Brittany?
Mine was when Nick takes Lindsay to see his drum kit, and he gets really excited talking about the drums and his future and what his passion is. I love whenever Nick gets really in touch with his feelings.
Yeah. Which happens a lot.
It happens a lot. Not
sparingly, is it?
I feel like she was not impressed.
Well, that's because she wants, you know, James Franco.
James Franco, I know, but he's, like, talking, he's like, yeah, my drums, and he's getting super into it, and she's like, wow, this is, like, a lot of drums.
So with private lines, I'll go first again. Mine is Nick, otherwise known as Jason Segel. He goes, I believe in God, man. I've seen him. I felt his power. He plays drums for Led Zeppelin, and his name is John Bonham, baby. And yes, because John Bonham is amazing. And I get really sad in the next episode about John Bonham.
Oh, they set that up in this episode, didn't they?
Aww.
I hadn't realized that. Oh, that's really smart thinking.
It is good. I don't know. I love Nick's obsession with the drums. So, Danielle?
All right. Mine was from Mr. Weir, right? That's the last name?
Yep.
And his line towards the very beginning of the episode was, you know, there was a girl in our school. She had premarital sex. You know what she did on graduation day? Died of an overdose. Heroin.
I love the dad.
It's like, I don't even know. It's, It reminds me of the gym teacher in Mean Girls. Like, you're gonna get chlamydia and die, and you're gonna get an STD and die. It's just wonderful.
See, I have a confession. I've actually never seen Mean Girls, and I feel like I have, though. And everyone destroys me whenever I say that. I get ripped apart, but I feel like I can't
no,
go.
No, you're really young. That's what the people bring up Mean Girls for
that. Well, no, but even still.
It came out, like, when I was in 8th grade, so you had to have been, like, a baby.
I'm 19.
I know. So you were, like, in 4th grade. You're no, a year older than my baby sister.
It's still one of those movies that's still so relevant in pop culture, though, that I get torn apart when I say I still haven't seen it. And I feel like right now, I'm watching it out of spite because everyone assumes that I would have seen it. Like Frozen. I don't want to say Frozen because everyone just assumes that I've seen it.
Don't do it. It's awful. I hate it.
It is not awful. It's just overrated.
Yeah, I tried to go back. I saw it in theaters, tried to go back and rewatch it. Barely made it through the first, like, song. It was bad.
I do honestly, I do have Let It Go as a remix on my gym playlist. I don't know if that counts.
I love Let It Go. I still cry every time it comes on.
Yeah, I'm still shitty that, I'm still bitter that Glee did it because I wanted to not have to hear it, and then I heard it. I was like, oh, it's all right, I guess. So, Ariana, your line.
My favorite line was at the beginning with the bully. It's really the bully slang where he's like, you really like Bill Murray, don't you? And he's like, yeah, he's great. And he goes, Bill Murray sucks, man. I don't know why I thought that was so fun. I guess because, like, I also kind of feel like Bill Murray's overrated, which I know is, like, a terrible thing to say, but that's how I feel. And so I was like, wow, bully, you're speaking for me right now.
Do any of you guys watch Parks and Rec by chance?
Yeah.
And Bill Murray is Meg Gunderson?
That was the best appearance by any guest star ever on the show.
So random.
I know. When he came on, I was like, oh my god. It was perfect.
Yeah, I still have Parks and Rec feels. I'm never going to get over that ending. It was so good.
The best series finale ever.
I saw somebody comment on the post on Hyperbole saying we should hire the Parks and Rec writers to redo the How I Met Your Mother finale. Yes. Brittany, your line?
So mine is from everyone's least favorite character, Ken, a.k.a. Seth Rogen.
Thank you.
When when Lindsay's purse gets, like, dumped by Kim Kelly, and he's like, this is exactly why I don't carry a purse. And he just walks away. Like, it's so perfect.
That was really mean.
That's how he contributes to the show, which is sort of dry humor one-liners, isn't it?
And that's what I like. He's the Boomy of this show, Ariana.
No, he's definitely not the Boomy. Not at all. Boomy is delightful and a good person. And this was cruel. When somebody's purse falls, you should help them pick it up.
No, I don't think so. Not unless, like, you're into them, like Nick and James Franco. He could care less about his own self. Like, he's going to care about anyone else.
So going into episode 2, Beers and Weirs, synopsis for this episode. In this episode, Linda decides to throw a kegger because she is a doer and she hopes everyone lowered inhibitions will advance her goals of sexing James Franco. Too bad James Franco is already boning down on Busy Phillips. Meanwhile, John Francis Daly is also being very proactive. He swaps out the kegger for non-alcoholic beer and everyone is stupid and gets drunk anyway, except for hashtag Team Weird Decathlon Girl, who I think we can all agree is the hero of this tale. In the end, everyone is in love with Linda Cardellini because she is beautiful and smart and kind. So Jason Segel tries to cop a feel, and Linda's like, nah, bro, and goes and cries on that weird freshman's shoulder until he calls the cops. Also, please don't drink and drive, children. Go get high on life. This is one of the best lines of the episode is that, and I'm bitter to the one who took it. So, the discussion. Somebody wrote in the doc here that they didn't like the episode very much. Oh.
I don't know how I feel. That was me, and then I tried to quit. I thought it was okay. I don't know. I liked the whole, you know, swap out the beer kind of thing, but I also thought it was more meandering and slow than the first episode. I don't know. There wasn't anything in here besides Team Weird Decathlon Girl that was really a standout in my mind. Besides Jason Segel, of course, who I now know is Jason Segel.
I suppose it was a bit more of a filler episode in that sense, which is odd to have right after the pilot, but I still thought it was good. Ariana, how do you feel about it?
I liked this one a lot more than the first one, maybe just because I have made the decision to like the characters more. But I liked that there was more, I don't know, like now I feel suspense for the relationships. I'm like, ooh, who's she going to pick? Like I'm kind of like on Jason Segel's team, even though he is like kind of gross. He felt like really sorry about it afterward. He's kind of like the Zuko, and I feel like she's the Katara.
I don't know these analogies.
Well, I guess you should just go watch Avatar then, huh, Danielle?
Whatever.
It's not on Netflix though.
Well, then forget it.
So, is kegger a general term for a party, or is it specifically? Would you take someone buys a keg for a party? I don't know. Somebody asked this question as well in the doc, and I don't understand.
Wait,
I don't understand if this is like an American
kegger.
Thing or.
Yeah,
I assume it's like kind of like this kind of party, like an out of the hand, like party full of people who don't know what they're doing,
and like a guest who you don't really know who they are. Parents are gone. Weird things are happening in the house. There's a keg in the corner. Like that's kind of what a high school kegger is. At least that's my knowledge of it. I never went to one, but...
I never went to one either.
I'm not going to call out ages here, but is that sort of like a general term for a party or something that would be common in the 80s? Or Because I'm only a few years out of high school, but we just call them parties. It wasn't specifically like...
We didn't call them keggers.
Yeah, I think I picked up kegger more from like movies and TV rather than... in the hallways of my high school. Usually in the hallways it was like party, but if they did have a keg there, I would maybe think of it as a kegger just because I've seen it on TV.
Yeah, I feel like a kegger is a party where the entire purpose is to get drunk.
Yeah, off a keg.
Off a keg.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of more like an American trope in like old high school movie sort of things. Like, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I feel like you're asking the wrong people, Jack.
Yeah. That's why, like, I wrote in here, I was like, I feel like this is going to turn into, like, a who had the lamest high school experience, like, type of thing, because I have a feeling, like, I know I didn't go to any parties in high school. I was really lame.
See, I definitely went to my fair share, but they were never called keggers.
Jack was a party animal, you know it.
Well, Ariana, I want you to sort of explain what you wrote in the doc, because I want to hear the story.
Oh, no, I wanted to hear Brittany's story.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep, sorry.
So, in keeping with how lame I was in high school, there was one time I needed a ride to my friend at Kate's house, and my grandma was like, oh, why are you going to her house? It's Friday night. Are you guys going to have, like, a massive party and all this stuff? And I was like, no, we're going to, like, knit and have tea. And she was like, oh, sure, you're going to knit and have tea. And my mom was like, no, really, she's going to knit and have tea. And my grandma was like, do not let her out of the house. Like, she would rather me stay home alone on a Friday night than go to someone's house and knit and have tea. So that's my big high school experience.
That was wonderful.
Also, I was in band, so.
Hey, I was in band. And
I was in band, too.
We did not party hard. We had to get
the trumpet. Oh, trumpet players are always so hot.
Drumline. Drumline was always so hot.
And drumline was always so weird.
Our band wasn't big enough to have a drumline. We had one person on a kit who didn't march. I was also in color guard because I cannot carry any type of musical tune or play any type of instrument. I played like woodblock in concert band. So.
Because
I count to eight.
That's good.
You seem like a color guard kind of girl, Brittany. You give off that vibe.
Oh,
you're like sassier than cheerleader.
And I can beat you with a metal pole if it comes down to it.
Exactly.
So, Ariana, do you think you can top that with your story?
With how lame I was? Well, one time My friend called us over to his house because he built a hovercraft. He got bored. He got bored one day and decided to look up online how to build a hovercraft, and so he built one. And so I was riding it, and it was like built out of a leaf blower. And we turned it on, and my friends were talking, and then a leaf blower got caught in my hair, and all of my hair was getting sucked into the leaf blower. And it hurt so bad, and I was like screaming. And nobody would hear me, because I was so lame, they didn't care about me. And so that went on for several minutes until they finally found me. And then a lot of my hair had come off, so.
Okay,
wow. I don't know which one's better.
I don't even know.
Yeah, so bring it back to the episode. Let's get back. So I love Millie. Millie is the team with Decathlon, and I think I like her and Lindsay's relationship. And yeah, how do you guys feel? I know Ariana, you are a big fan of Millie. How do you feel about her in this episode?
I just like that they have a smart person who is saying the things that should be said because everyone else is stupid. So I appreciate her, and she'll go far in life and maybe like run for president or something. I like that. I guess mostly I just like. I appreciated in this scene that, I don't know if this is what we're talking about, I'm just looking at the next point, but like how everyone acknowledges that, what is her name, Lindsay? Lindsay. I keep wanting to call her Linda. Lindsay is smart, and that's cool. They're like, no, that's really cool that you're smart, you should like appreciate that. Like even James Franco, he's like, if I was smart, like, or if I was good at stuff, I would definitely like be proud of that.
It seems like right now everyone's telling her that she's smart, but she doesn't want to hear it. Like, everyone is fine with her being smart and being part of the decathlon and the mathletes, but she thinks it's not cool, but everyone doesn't have an issue with it.
Which is so refreshing, because it's never that way. Ever. And so I did really like that. Like, even though I can understand how she's kind of insecure about it, but like Ariana was saying, I really do like how everybody's like, no, that's cool. Because I feel like if more things were that way, the world would be nicer.
But I feel like that's how it is in real life. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's closer in real life than being stigmatized for being a mathlete.
When you're smart like that, like a mathlete, it's not like you're... I don't feel like people hate you. Like, well, that's kind of how I was. I was, like, super nerdy. And when you're nerdy, like, you're kind of a dork. So people aren't, like, angry at you. They're like, no, it's fine that you're smart. You're weird. Whatever.
Yeah. Like, in my high school, like, there was never that sort of divide of, by nerdy and popular groups, like, and things that were sort of, would usually be stigmatized as being nerdy. Like, I was part of the band, but I definitely was not. I wasn't, like, on the outside, like, or anything, because everyone was sort of just, like, fine with everyone. Like, sure, there were, like, some people who didn't like other people and groups who didn't like other groups, but it was never a huge sort of, stereotype divide that you see in a lot of shows and movies, at least. But I suppose that's sort of just a testament to, I don't know, different times. Like, obviously, this is different times than the 80s and stuff, so... I don't know if it was a lot more different back then, but yeah, it does feel like a bit more like real life. So everyone is cool with her being a mathlete, but
she's nice. Yeah, because she's a nice person. She's not being a bitch about it.
Right. It's like, you do you.
Yeah, exactly. So we saw some love triangles on this episode. So Ariana, do you want to explain how you interpreted the romantic stuff going on?
Well, I feel like the main one here is definitely going to be, well, like Linda and Jason Segel are obviously meant to be. Okay. And I don't know if that's just me like picking up on the fact that they were actually together like while this was going on, or if that's the show, like what's actually, but I really feel like they're supposed to be like end game for this season at least. But she's super into James Franco. James Franco seems to, like, kind of like her, but he really wants to bang Busy Phillips, too. But then also there was that, like, the little weird kid with the curly hair. And he was cute, but definitely way too young for her. So, I don't know. What do you think, Danielle?
I mean, I think that there's definitely going to be something with Brunette and Jason Segel. I'm kind of just Jason Segel, like, team Jason Segel in general, not really shipping, but, like,
yeah,
I can see it coming. Also, can you please explain this whole that she's Sarah Marshall, because I can't be the only one who didn't know this.
Oh, okay. My God, I did not know that either.
Linda Cardellini went to college with a friend of mine, and they're, like, really good friends. And she's also friends with Jason Segel because she worked on How I Met Your Mother. And so Linda Cardellini and Jason Segel went out for, like, a really long time. And when she broke up with him, he was naked when she broke up with him. But they ended, like, very much more amicably than in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But, yes, he was naked when they broke up.
Wait, so you're saying that Jason Segel's relationship with her is Sarah Marshall is based on?
I've never seen Sarah Marshall, and I've heard that it's, like, she comes off terribly.
Yeah, because Sarah Marshall is Kristen Bell.
I love that movie so much.
It was definitely more amicable than that. But, like, the main thing is that she broke up with him while he was naked. That is real. In their relationship.
Didn't know that.
Whoa.
Yeah, so despite all of the humor in this episode with, you know, drinking and drugs and everything, at least at the end of it, that it did get taken seriously, because as someone has written in the doc here, the drunk driving is a big issue that people don't take seriously. A lot of people think, oh, I'll be fine, I won't hurt anyone, I won't hurt myself, so I'll just do it. And then obviously that's how accidents happen. So yeah, that was good, despite all of the funny stuff, that it did get taken seriously. It was good.
And what I like about Freaks and Geeks is that they touch, like, and this is just the first episode out of many that's going to touch on, like, more serious topics, but it's not preachy PSA like Glee is, where they're, like, it's not overdone.
Smash over the head with the
They're not going to beat you over the head with it and then, like, carry on and end with something, like, completely ridiculous. Like, it's going to be mentioned. It's going to be mentioned in a serious way, and that's just how this kind of comedy works, because it is a comedy, but it's a lot more serious.
And I feel like it's more effective in this way.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree that it's a comedy.
Sorry. Well,
I'd always heard it's a comedy, but it doesn't. Yeah, it's like a comedy the way Orange is the New Black is a comedy.
Exactly.
Like, not really.
This show is, like,
just for the Emmys.
20 years ahead of its time in the dramedy category. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was before, like, there was this huge debate over what should be considered a comedy and what could be considered a drama. The show kind of, like, flew under the radar in that category.
Yeah.
Because it was just seriously at the time.
But I do think it's more drama.
Yeah, I feel like it was just a show that has an idea that they wanted to do, and they just did it despite, like, genre restrictions. Like, they just had the concept and the idea and what they were planning to do, and they just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So going to favorite scenes, mine is the drug awareness play, because it kills me every single time I watch it. I actually have a video of it on my phone, and I go back and watch it frequently in my life. Millie is just so funny to me. She's my favorite, and yeah, I took a line from this, my favorite lines as well, that we'll get to. Danielle, what was your favorite scene?
Can we make Ariana go first? Because mine is basically, like, a subsection of hers, and I want to steal her thunder.
Oh, well, mine is when Millie starts singing about Jesus in the middle of the kegger. She just starts playing the piano, and what's that Jesus song? She's like, Jesus loves you, or whatever. It's just so, like, funny.
Jesus is a friend. No. Oh, I know it.
So mine is when Jason Segel comes in, and he just starts rocking out with her, because why not?
Yeah, it's so funny. Brittany?
Okay, for all of you who have commented on this who have no idea who Neil is, gosh, Neil is one of Sam's friends. He's like the kid with the curly hair who's Jewish, you know, the one who is in love with Lindsay, a.k.a. Linda, because no one knows who Lindsay is.
Brunette.
The brunette girl.
The main one.
Yeah, the main one. So Neil is there. This is the scene that I like is when he's in the kitchen distracting the lead brunette girl, Linda Lindsay, while she's, like, creating the snack bowls so that they can switch out the kegs, because I think he's trying to be really smooth, and he's actually succeeding pretty well for what he's trying to do. And I love it.
Yeah. Speaking of Neil, Ariana, I have a question for you, because with, you know how we have different views on Cindy, and I think that she sort of knows that Sam likes her, and I don't like what she's doing. How do you feel about in the room when Lindsay is really drunk and Neil comes in and says that he's been in love with her since he was little, and then she kisses him at the end of the scene? As like, I think that is a nice thing to do, and it wasn't stringing along how I think Cindy is. Is that how you feel as well, or do you feel?
Yeah. Yeah, I think she was being nice. She didn't start making out with him. She kissed him on the cheek. I feel like that's very, like, sweet friend zone. And yeah. I also think, I don't see how, what's her name, Cindy, is being any different. Like, dancing with him, I don't see how that's being any different. I feel like Lindsay would dance with Neil if she felt like that was appropriate or that was a nice thing to do. She danced with that other guy. That's not leading him on. Nobody's saying that.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just thinking retrospectively, and I shouldn't say too much in fear of giving things away. I don't want to be the Mitch of the Freaks and Geeks round. No comment.
No comment!
So, favourite lines. Mine is a bit from the play. And so, it starts off with, I always forget this guy's name. I'm still a super fan. Is it Bob Brittany? The one with the curly hair.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, he's not there a lot.
He's not there a lot.
Yeah,
yeah, just okay. Say Bob. That's fine. Bob. Yeah, Bob's good. Why not?
He looks like a Bob.
Yeah. So, hey, Millie, happy birthday. Oh, thank you, Bob. How's it going? Good. You did a really nice job decorating here. Do you know if anyone here has any cocaine? I love it so much. And there's a bit more after that, but I left it at that because, yeah.
So accurate. I mean, who didn't grow up with that?
And I love how at the party after he's just like, no, I did it just to get good at my resume or whatever he said. So, Danielle?
I was okay with this episode, but I wasn't in love with it. And so I kind of had trouble picking a favorite line. So I went with, towards the end of the episode, everybody's leaving the party. I took this from a Wikipedia page, so I'm assuming that the names are right. Sam, a.k.a. John Francis Daly, says, you don't have to run, Ken. It's fake beer. And Ken, who I assume is Seth Rogen, says, I know. I won $87 playing quarters. This party ruled. And I like that that character is the only one that noticed that there was nothing in the beer.
Even the old people. Oh, yeah. Can we talk about, like, what was the deal with those old people? That was so bizarre. But I guess that does happen, huh?
They were, like, James Franco's cousins or whatever. Because he said, like, oh, I told my cousins about this party. And then that group of people showed up and, like, Kim Kelly seemed to know who they were, so...
I hope so when he threw over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's one of those characters. She's one of those characters who you have to refer to by her full name, Kim Kelly. I don't know why. Yeah.
Got it. I have a few of those people in my life.
And what kind of name is Busy as well? Busy Phillips. Did she change that herself, or is that what she was given?
No, I think that's her name. Her daughter's name is, like, Birdie. So, a bunch of cutesy names in the family.
Mm. Ariana, you stole my favorite line. I wanted to use it so bad.
mine is when... Oh, my God. What is her name?
Millie.
Is offered something to drink at the party, and she's like, no, thank you. I prefer to get high on life. You go, Millie.
You go, Millie.
That's right.
You don't need to get matter of fact about it.
Just get high on life. You have a lot to live for.
I love when the drunk guy comes up to her and asks if she would drive him home, and she goes, well, yes, I would. And he goes, yes, I would. Because she's so matter of fact. Like, she's, of course, I will. Brittany, your favorite line?
Mine was when Bill comes and he, like, finally agrees to, like, go to the party that they're hosting at their house, and he says, fine, I'll go, but I'm watching Dallas there. Because, you know, sometimes you just don't want to give up your favorite show to go and sit at a party that you don't want to be at. Yes. So,
I get you, Bill. It happened to me yesterday. I was like, the Vampire Diaries is on.
See, yeah. That used to be me with Glee in the earlier seasons, and then now, in the lighter ones, I just didn't really mind going out at night and watching it the next day.
Yeah, but Bill gets me, man.
Bill. I love Bill. He's awesome.
I mean, Bill, I go back and forth on. He grosses me out a lot more than I wish that he would. I don't know why. I think it's just, he, like, just the way he looks, it grosses me out.
Is Bill Martin star?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Bill Havertruck.
So going into listener feedback, to get in contact with us, we have our email, rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hyperboard.com, and we also have a Tumblr, which is
rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com.
Cool. And iTunes reviews. If you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will show you all her drunk on fake beer dance moves at our next kegger. My bad, I'm in Google Hangout party.
Woo woo! And she has pretty good moves. I've danced with her before. It's a good time.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably
to Eminem. I am not being sarcastic. We have fun dancing. We hand dance and great.
I would love to see that.
I would too. Also, you might be able to see it because, as you may have heard earlier, this is our 99th episode, which means next 99. Week is our 100th episode.
100!
So we're going to try and have a Google Hangout.
That's what we're planning right now. It will work, okay, Brittany? It will work. And I'm bringing mimosas, so, okay, it'll work.
Well, hopefully it will work.
But yes, so next time we'll probably have a Google Hangout, so keep a lookout on the Twitter.
Yay.
Speaking of Twitter, we all have our personal Twitters as well, if you want to follow us for the things that we tweet. Mine is Jack Farr, that's 2 Ks and 2 Rs in that. Ariana, what's your Twitter?
Yeah, so we don't usually do this, but since it's the first episode, I figured we should pimp ourselves out a little bit, because I like to live tweet, and I know some people do too. But mine is Ariana, or A-R-I-A-N-A, _QZ.
Brittany?
Mine is BritLovely237, so it's BritLovely237.
And Danielle?
Mine is Vim, V-I-M-M, 102090.
That's her birthday.
It's my birthday. And I didn't know that anybody would care about live tweeting, so I would love to live tweet my watching if anybody would be interested in looking at it. Otherwise, I won't, because I feel like my non-cool friends think it's really strange when I do things.
Oh, that's why I only @reply to rewatchable, so only people who care will watch it.
Oh,
you can also take over the rewatchable account and sign it with your initial, which Ariana and I have done.
I've done that before. Okay, I can do it there too. Yeah. I have it on my phone.
So we've got some listener feedback for this episode. I'll take the first one, and then I'll hand it out to everyone else. So this is from the Twitter, Nadia at BOGVALG. I don't know what that means.
Bogvalg.
I watched all the Freaks and Geeks as a newbie this week, so by the time At Rewatchable is done with it, I'll practically be a super fan, right? And that is right. You will be a super fan. Most definitely. Danielle, did you want to take the next one?
Of course. This one is from Shelly, and her Twitter handle is at Shelly Bookworm, which I really like. And she tweeted at both me and Rewatchable, and she said, just listen to the intro ep. I've only seen the first ep of Freaks and Geeks, so I'm going to follow along, not binge for once. And I feel like Shelly and I are going to form a support group. I think I tweeted this out or two, because I am going to have a hard time not binging, I think. So we're going to stay strong together, Shelly.
Yeah, newbies band together. I was just in the newbie shoes, and it's not a fun place to be sometimes.
Yes. So if anybody wants to join our support group, I'm saying our because I'm assuming Shelly is just going to join it automatically. let us know.
So, Brittany, do you want to take the next one from the Twitter?
Sure. So we have Kayla Jensen, which is at underscore Kayla Jensen. And she says, yes, I've been waiting for I've been waiting for the perfect show to begin listening to Rewatchable. So I'm glad Freaks and Geeks struck someone's fancy, although you should go back and listen to all of our other shows because from what I hear, Veronica Mars was great, Firefly was great. You can probably skip Pushing Daisies. It wasn't our best, mainly because no one liked the show.
Nobody liked it. I felt so bad that I didn't like it.
And there was too many people. We didn't have the built-in Kamar.
Yeah.
I can't speak. I'm sorry.
We really hit our stride with Avatar and Veronica Mars, I think. Yes. So go back and enjoy those. But stick around for Freaks and Geeks.
But yes, it's so nice to meet you, Kayla. I'm delighted.
And talk to us on Twitter, because I love talking to people on Twitter.
Me too.
Ariana, did you want to take the last one from the Twitter?
Yes, this one is from Zach H. Official. I really like Zach. He tweets all the time. And Zach says, I think about Rewatchable every time I pass Eccles Middle School in Tuscaloosa. Zach, that's really nice. I will think about you every time I hear the word Tuscaloosa.
Yes.
And we have one iTunes review this week. Gave us 5 stars, and it's by Adnama. That's what she said.
Wait, you have to read what they called. What did they call the review?
Yeah, hold on. I'm getting there.
Titled
it Favorite Hyperbole Podcast.
Yeah!
I absolutely love this podcast. Hyperbole podcasts are definitely my favorite, and this podcast is my favorite of them all, of all of them. It's not only a great way to rewatch and discuss your favorite shows, but for those of us who have never seen the shows, it's great to hear the thoughts of already fans and newbies. The hosts are all fantastic as the shows are already interesting and fun. There is yet to be an episode that hasn't had me in tears from laughing. Here's hoping this podcast goes on for a long while. Thank you very, very much for that.
That's so sweet.
Take that.
I want to hug you.
So, I love it whenever anyone says this is their favorite Hyperbole podcast.
I've never heard that before, so I love it so much.
Hey, Adnama, get in contact with us with your details, and we can send you Karen's iTunes incentive if you really want to see her fake drunk off keg beer dancing.
Or she might have had a pass incentive that she wanted to cash in on, so
never know. So March 7th, this might be all of them. The one where she has to do all of them from Avatar. So that could be a great one to cash in on. Be sure to follow up with us.
It's almost summer. It's almost beach weather. She can do that.
Yes.
Oh, it's summer here. Feel free to come enjoy the heat. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This was our second episode from the Freaks and Geeks Round First Recap. I had a lot of fun. My first hosting one for Rewatchable. I hope it did all right.
I think you did a pretty good job. Yeah.
Hope I didn't muck up too much.
No,
thanks for listening. I've been Jack.
And I'm Danielle.
And I'm Ariana.
I'm Brittany.
Bye.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.